with me and give me your full attention, because I'm going to move fast today. I got a lot of things to share with you. God's been really, really, if you guys have seen me speak before, you know I usually don't have a lot of notes, and today it's like 8 pages. So, without further ado, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and His righteousness. And first of all, we thank you that you are the God of the universe who can do all things, who created all things, who orders all things, and that there is no lack in your kingdom. And we thank you that you bless us individually, that you love us so much, and that you are good, and you show that goodness to each one of us on a personal level. And I pray that this morning you would open up eyes to see and ears to hear, that people would hear your word today, and that they would be forever changed, that your word would not return void, but that it would bring a profit and a return in the lives of the hearers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what I want to talk to you about today, I'm calling it the middle. So what's the middle? The middle is where we live life, right? There, everything has a beginning, everything has an end, and the stuff that happens is in the middle. Okay? Now, it's always easy to get excited at the beginning. You get some new idea, right? And you're excited about it. The new job, the new boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, child, you know, vacation, whatever it is. There's something new and exciting that's going on. And that day when you get that vision, that belief that something good's about to happen to you, it's really easy to be excited, isn't it? And then the middle happens. And you know, we're a culture of 30-minute television shows, 2-hour movies, you know, audio books. We can't even do the reading ourselves, right? We wanna get from that beginning to the end as fast as possible. And we want instant solutions, we want instant gratification, and we want the results without having to think about the work. The work's the middle. Nobody wants to talk about the middle. You see, and we're all guilty of this, and it's because we don't have time. When we're learning something, Bible included, we get these stories about these awesome men and women of faith and the things that they did, and oh, God implanted a vision in their life, and all of a sudden, they're doing great things for God, right? But we don't get to hear about the middle, because the middle happens over days, years, time that you don't have to be able to know what the inner workings of that person's mind is, to know what the doubts and the struggles and the tests that they ran into were. But we all have to live through those. We all have to live in the middle. And there's certain times in the middle. There's certain times in the middle where we run into a test. And we pass that test with flying colors and something happens. It's called breakthrough. It's called breakthrough. All of us are just waiting for the breakthrough. The breakthrough is when you've been walking, you've been diligently walking, and now all of a sudden you got up around that corner so you can see the path open up. You can see the next stop on the journey. You get refreshed, you get re-energized, you get excited again because you remember that original vision. And now you're thinking, I'm that much closer to that destination. And you get fired up, and all of a sudden you were about out of gas. And you catch that second wind and you start running. Years ago, I used to work out. It's been a while, as you can tell. And it's like you're going, you're hating it. You're hating life. You're like, why didn't I sleep in this morning? And then you break through that pain barrier and you hit that second wind, and all of a sudden it's easier than it was when you first started. That's called breakthrough. And there's this hockey stick curve that happens on. I'm going to start doing some drawing because I'm a graphic person in terms of I think in images, and I think in I see things in my mind, and then I can put the pieces together. And so I've noticed a pattern that happens with breakthrough. And I'm going to show that to you. But first, I want to tell you guys the first really memorable breakthrough I had in my life. Bible tells us that we overcome the enemy by what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So I'm not a theologian, but I know the word of my testimony. And you guys know the word of yours, so don't ever discount the power of your own testimony, okay? So this was almost 20 years ago, back in 2000, well, it was 20 years ago probably. This story kind of started in 2001. I was a college dropout because I'd gone there because other people told me to be there, and they knew I was good at school. Even though I hated it, I was good at it, so therefore I ought to go do more of it and spend a whole bunch of money to do it. And so I did, and I got far enough in to realize that corporate America wasn't, and I didn't agree, and I knew it wasn't going to end well, and I knew who would lose. So I decided that I wasn't going to keep going to a university. So I quit doing that, and I got to a really low point in my life. Got to a really low point because I had no direction. I just knew that I'd seen a lot of directions that didn't work. I was very depressed. I was very frustrated. I felt hopeless. I felt like there wasn't a reason to get up and get dressed and put one foot in front of the other. I really didn't see the point. But I sat there and wrestled with my own thoughts long enough. I finally developed a plan. And I decided, you know what? I'm tired of worrying about what I'm good at. I'm tired of everybody else telling me what I'm good at. And I'm going to do what I like to do and where I keep on finding myself landing every time I have nowhere else to go. So I enrolled myself in tech school. And I went back to tech school to be an auto mechanic. Okay? Well, then fast forward a little bit, a couple years, things are going good. I'm doing really great with my chosen vocation, but my life hadn't gotten any better. In fact, it had gotten worse. I drank a lot in those days, and I started partying more, and I had a lot of buddies that were into a lot of bad things, and thank God that he saved. There were lines that he drew for me that I never crossed. But I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. So, long story short, I end up moving about as far from Kansas as you can get without going to a foreign country, although I'm still not fully convinced it isn't a foreign country. It's called Massachusetts. And, you know, we're from Kansas, and Dorothy Gale was from Kansas, and Massachusetts is the land of Oz. Okay? I mean, they got it all. And I was a fish out of water. I had a profession now, but I still had no direction for my life, and the depression got worse. I moved there just in time for winter. Winter in Massachusetts is extremely cold, extremely gloomy. If the sun really shines, which it doesn't exactly, but it's, you know, from 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm from Kansas, the land of sunshine, right? And it was bad. I was depressed. Well, my dad was living out there. That's why I picked that. And he and my stepmother went to church, and I decided I would humor them and go to church because I was living rent-free while I found a job and all those things. So besides that, I was bored out of my mind. I went from going to school full-time and working full-time to doing absolutely nothing, and I was about ready to go nuts, worse than I already was. And so I went to church with them. Long story short, I found every conceivable thing I could wrong with that church. Imagine that. Imagine that. But I gave God another chance through the form of somebody that I met. I was given this church its last chance. I went to a young adults meeting. I decided, okay, I've got a job now. I don't need anything extra to do. I got friends. This is the last chance. If I don't see anything here worth staying for, I'm gone. And I went there, and I didn't see anything there worth staying for. But I met two people who were there from a different church who had a different attitude. They were the people that came and spoke to me out of a room full of 40 or 50 people. The two that came and showed me hospitality and made me feel like they were interested in me weren't even from that church. So I had a conversation with this young lady who happens to be sitting right over there today, and asked her what church she went to. And so I decided I'd go try that one, right? There's this tall blonde who's nice to me over there. And so I went there the next week, and this is Massachusetts, where it snows all the time. Nobody cancels anything for snow, but that week they canceled church for snow. So I get there, nobody's there, so I go home. Okay, I'll try again next week. I go again next week, and the two people in the whole building I knew weren't there. They were at a friend's college graduation. So fast forward a little further, the blonde girl that I met at the other church's Christmas party, I never even spoke to her one-on-one again until the following August. But God got a hold of me in that church. And there was a day a few months down the road where I walked in from work, and I was working at a place that was miserable, and I was miserable on top of it, so it made for a great combination. And I walked in the door, and my stepmother, they had this three-family house, and I had an apartment in their house. Anyway, I walk in the front door, and she sees me, and she could tell I hadn't had a good day and wasn't really excited about life, and proceeded to tell me how I probably should get on some meds. Can't say I blame her necessarily, but all of a sudden, I turn to her and I say, my Bible says that God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I don't need your meds. That was a breakthrough moment. Depression has never knocked on my door since. I claimed a sound mind for myself through the power of the Word of God, and that was a breakthrough moment for me. So I got that little victory, right? And then, 6 months later, my dad and stepmother announced they're moving back to Kansas. I'm going, well, you know, maybe I can catch a tornado and get out of the land of Oz too. So I have a plan. I've got job interviews lined up. I've got appointments with people to show me places for rent, all this, and I was going to move back to Salina. Had it all planned out. But I'd heard these stories in the church about how you can ask God where you ought to be in life, what you ought to do, and he'll give you direction. And I heard this story about this guy named Gideon and how he didn't know what he ought to do, so he fleeced God, right? He laid out the fleece of wool, and he said, well, God, if you want me to do this, then you make it wet and everything else dry. And then God did that, and that wasn't good enough. So he said, okay, well, tomorrow you make this dry and everything else wet. And God did that, and finally he agreed. God proved it to him. So, you know, in the back of your mind, you always kind of know what God's wanting you to do, don't you? Usually when you're doing the hardest praying about seeking direction, it's because you're doing the most resistance to what he's already told you, isn't it? So I fleeced God. And I set up a scenario and I said, God, if you want me to go back to Kansas, then you do this. If you want me to stay here, then you do this. And I got there, and within 2 hours of arriving, the first day there, I had my answer. I threw a fit about it. I'm not going to lie to you. I threw a fit about it. I drove out in the middle of the country to an old rock quarry where my buddies and I used to hang out, and I screamed at God. I was not nice, but he'd heard it all before. He knew me. And he's big enough to take any emotion that we have, and he can take it. He takes that burden, he removes it, and then he sets you on a course, right? So I decided, I said, God, I'm going to stay. I don't want to. I'm not happy about it. I'm leaving it up. It's your responsibility to show me the joy in it, because I'm not happy and I'm not going to be happy unless you do something to make me happy. That was my attitude. That was in October. November rolls around, and my dad's leaving. It's the last Sunday. At this point, they'd switched to my church because they saw what happened to me, right? They switched to my church. They're coming with me. And anyway, we're there. It's the last Sunday we're there. And I'm thinking about all the family troubles that my dad's going back into, and I'm feeling guilty, honestly, that I'm staying there. And during worship that day, another breakthrough moment happened. And that was that God spoke to me during worship, just as plain as if he was standing next to me. In my mind, he said, "You don't have to fight anymore." And that release washed over me, and I'm a mess. I'm breaking down, crying. Everybody's wondering. You think everybody's wondering what's going on with you. They're worried about what they're doing. That relief washes over me, and then he says to me, when I'd kind of regained my composure, he says, "Now look around." And I look around. And he says, "This is your family now." I broke down all over again. It was ugly. But it was transformational. That breakthrough brought about transformation. I was never the same, never the same, ever again. After that moment when God took the battle that I'd been carrying and trying to fight my whole life, and he said, "That's my fight. You don't have to do that anymore." And I, in all the wisdom I didn't have, just said, "Okay." That was it. Okay. I take you at your word, Lord. I will not fight anymore because you've told me I don't have to. And it was transformational. Transformational. Within the next year, that blonde girl that I didn't get to speak to for 8 months after I first met her got engaged to me. And then in March of the following year, we got married. And I'm proud to say for the last 18 years, I've lived my life in a way that I didn't understand was doable. There's a foundation of God in my life that's unshakable. I can't go back. There's no way I could go back to before that moment. There's no way I can erase that breakthrough. There's nothing anybody could do to me that can take that away from me. Because I'm here to tell you, somebody with an experience is never at the mercy of somebody with an education, somebody with an office, somebody with a platform. If you have an experience with the living God, you are at no man's mercy. So let me draw this out for you, and we're going to call this breakthrough. And I want to explain to you how this works, because I'm pretty sure there's some people in here that need a breakthrough. Pretty sure. In fact, I guarantee you. So here's how this works. You're sitting here at home in your chair, and we can call this chair, let's just call this chair, let's give it a name, let's call it misery. Let's make this interesting. You're there sitting in your misery, right? And you're sitting there, and you've got the pose of the thinker, right? You're contemplating life's deeper truths. You're wondering why you're here. You're wondering why you're in the mess you're in. You're wondering why nobody likes you. You're wondering why your boss can't recognize your talent. You're wondering why your significant other always has to argue with everything that you say. You're wondering all these things, right? And then we're going to assume that somehow some truth gets into you. Somehow the Lord speaks to you. I don't know. He does it so many different ways. And you develop something that changes your perspective called belief. Okay? You come up with a belief and you start at this point, and now that belief starts making you take some action. You start moving. Here you are. You've gotten some motivation in life, and you are taking off. Ah, that's the wrong way. There you go. That looks like better, like a better form. There we go. Forget about that one. And you start taking off, and you start taking action, and you start getting some results, right? You've got this upward trajectory going, okay? And things are starting to feel better, aren't they? But don't worry. There's a test coming. You come up to this test that's along the road, and you're going full speed ahead, and out of nowhere, there it is. Okay? Now this test, here's what you do. You stretch out, and you hurdle that thing. Okay? And you go up, and you go over, and right down here is your landing spot. Now I'm going to show you how breakthrough works. It's a super simple. When you land, you find a trampoline waiting for you. You hit that thing, and it rockets you up. And all of a sudden, here you are. Now you've got all kinds of momentum, and your life goes like this. And this is where you hit victory. Okay? And right here in this hockey stick curve, your life goes through transformation. That's how it works. Moses was walking around with his sheep out in the desert, and all of a sudden this bush in front of him lights up. And he goes up and starts talking to a bush. And the bush makes him believe something. He negotiates with God, tries to get out of it, right? But that God ignites a belief in him that causes him to take action. He met his test in front of Pharaoh. He overcame that test. He hit the bottom. That trampoline was there. And next thing you know, he's leading millions of people out of slavery. It caused transformation and led to a victory. Peter was walking around, didn't know where to go, what to do, because the man he'd been following for the last 3 years had just been killed. Then somebody comes running up to him and says, "Hey, he's alive and he's asking for you." That was a moment of belief. It caused Peter to take action. He went and got back in line and started following again, even though all of his brothers, the disciples, they didn't want him there. You think they wanted him there? I don't think they wanted him there. And then he comes to a test. The Lord says, "Wait here. I'm leaving. I'm out of here, but you wait here. And I'll send the helper." The test comes. A crowd comes around him thinking they're drunk. And Peter stands up out of this belief that he got. He stands up and he preaches the first sermon and founds the first Christian church, 3,000 converts in one day. You think that was transformational in his life? You think he could go back? You think he could ever go back to the way he was? But maybe you guys think I'm missing something, because Peter really messed up. He wasn't just transformational, right? Well, that brings us to the other piece of this that's called breakdown. Breakthrough is wonderful. That's what we all want to talk about. But what about breakdown? See, the top half of the story is the same. top half of the story is the same. Peter had a belief as a child, and then as a man as he grew up. He believed that God was sending a Messiah. He believed that God was going to set his people free, just like he did the Israelites in Egypt, because he was subjugated to the Romans. He believed God was going to send a Messiah, and he believed that he was going to get to take a part in it. And so when this man Jesus came to him, he decided to follow. And he followed him, and he met several tests along the way that he passed with flying colors. Peter got to be there for the transfiguration, where he got to see Jesus in his glory. Peter stepped out and walked on water. Peter was told he was the rock that Christ would build his church on. These are breakthrough moments, church. Those are breakthrough moments. But yet, what happened? What happened when he came to that last test before the crucifixion in the garden? He was asked to pray, and he kept falling asleep. Then the soldiers came for him, and what did he do? He struck out. He went, "All right, guy, all right, Jesus, now's our moment. We're going to throw off the oppression." He took the sword to one of those soldiers, and Jesus told him no. Healed the guy. What happened to this belief? Let me show you. Let me show you. First half of the story is the same. Now, we've got that hurdle again. And Peter's there, and he's running for it. Sorry, Peter, you got a little big-headed. That's what happens. Pride comes before the fall, buddy. And so he gets big-headed, and he runs right slam into that thing, and he topples over it like this. And what's waiting for him? This whole world blows up. Boom! His entire belief, that whole belief that had driven him to this point, is destroyed. He was hopeless. He fell down here. Here's Peter coming down the hill. And he lands. Thank you, stage crew. He lands in this pit of failure. Can he ever go back? We said transformation takes you to another level, a new level that you can't go back from. Transformation will do that. Breakthrough will do that. How about breakdown? We know the answer, right? He denied Christ. After the garden didn't go the way his belief system thought it was going to, he denied Christ. But God's good. God's good, and he called for him by name. Moses. Moses was a man born with a destiny. He was such a big deal that the Pharaoh started killing all the male children amongst all the Hebrews just to try and get him, right? You guys remember the story. His sister goes and puts him in a basket in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Guess what Moses just got? A ticket to royalty. Got a ticket to royalty. And then, what's more, his sister hid and watched. So guess who he gets for a nursemaid? His own mother. So on one hand, he's being told he's a prince. What do you suppose his mother's telling him? You know, they killed all the other Hebrew boys your age trying to get you. You were born with a purpose. You've got a destiny. You're to lead your people out of this slavery. You've been positioned to win. You have a calling on your life. The Lord is with you. He ordained it before your birth. You have a gigantic destiny to fulfill, and you've been put in the very household of Pharaoh, given the power to carry it out. Now, boy, get to work. That's what his Hebrew mama was telling him. In the meantime, he was growing up in the Pharaoh's household, getting all the best education, the best training, the most powerful connections. He had it all. He had the looks. He had the office. He had the class, the clout, the authority to carry it all out. And then he came to a test where he saw his people that his mother told him to save being abused. And he stepped in and he killed one of the oppressors. And what happened? The very people he was trying to help rejected him. He found out that he wasn't perfectly positioned in both societies, the Hebrew and the Egyptian. He was alienated from both. He didn't belong to either one. That was Moses. So he fled. Somewhere along the line, he developed a stutter. Somewhere along the line, he became an old shepherd out in the desert. But he still had a belief. That first part of the equation was still true because he knew who was talking to him when the burning bush lit up, didn't he? It took some convincing. God had to sweet talk him into the deal and say, no, you just got ahead of me. You just tried to take it into your own hands. I didn't want it to look like that. That's not how I do things. I do things through goodness, not through force. I do things through people who want to serve me, not who want to gain notoriety. He said, and he convinced Moses to give it another shot. Moses had other things where he fell down to later in life, and he didn't actually make it to the promised land. But man, what did he accomplish? We've got the man who set the foundation of the nation of Israel in place. And I've talked to you about the man who set the foundation for the Christian church in place. They both knew what breakdown and breakthrough was. They had their breakdowns before their breakthrough. So let me ask you this. Who in here is disqualified from breakthrough? Who all in here has failed? Have you failed? Okay. Who's disqualified from breakthrough? I know you need it. I know it's available to you. I know we serve a good God. I'll tell you why I know. In 2010, moved back to Kansas. Now had a wife and a baby boy. Moved back to Kansas. Things were going well. We had a godly home. Still do. We understand God's our provider. We understand that He loves us. We understand He's got good plans for us. We believe those things. 100%, no doubt. We moved back. And I took a job at a Phillips Lighting. I was there for a couple of years, and I got asked to find a new job. Now, I'm not saying who's right or wrong, but I'm still here, and Phillips is closed. So, I mean, but long story short, I'd had my own auto repair shop on the East Coast before we came back, and that's what was really on my heart to do it. And God had already set wheels in motion. Let me get my dates right here. Yeah. So there was a man that believed in me in a town of Lincoln, Kansas, who was willing to help me get a shop. He had a construction company, and there was an old building he had in mind that he told me he'd been trying to figure out an excuse to buy it for the last couple of years because it was too good a building, just let it sit there and fall in. And long story short, I got fired from Phillips 2 days before he closed on the real estate contract to buy that building with the intention of putting me in it. So God provides, right? God was providing for me. It's like, yeah, God, we love you, we serve you, we're going to keep doing it. Well, we get going, and business is good. I got a banker that can't even wait to loan me money. He just wants to do everything he can to get me in this community and fill that shop full of brand new equipment and get the building renovated. And we do it all. I'm so busy. I start hiring help, and we're just cranking out work. Well, then, all of a sudden, let me keep my timeline going here, stick to my notes a little bit here. In September of 2015, so I officially opened in like May of 13. So, this nice lady from the Kansas Department of Revenue calls me, and she gives me the opportunity to pay her $80,000 in the next 6 months, or she said she's got a nice chain and a padlock that she's going to put on the front door of my shop. And I said, well, thank you for getting in touch with me. It's nice to take your call today, and I will see what I can do and get back with you, right? And so what do? I go and I seek professional advice, right? I'm talking to the CPA. I'm talking to the banker who was so eager to loan me money when it was all just about a high credit score and brownie points for bringing a new business to town, and the professionals all agreed, their professional opinion was I was screwed. I don't know if you can say that in church, but that was their professional opinion. October 2015, what do I do? It's about 5:30 in the morning. I'm down in my basement laying on my face, crying out to God, mercy! What have I done to my family? At this point, I had three boys and a baby, and a wife, and three families outside of my own that counted on me to pay their bills. And I said, mercy! Mercy! And I got up and I went about my business. I kept working. I kept praying. I kept talking to the kind lady at the Kansas Department of Revenue. And I made friends with her. How's that happen? These people are pit bulls. That's why they hire them for the job. They hate everybody. But she showed me favor. She showed me favor after I cried out for mercy to my Father in heaven. She gave me grace. She gave me till June to come up with the 80 grand and told me because she really liked me, I wouldn't have to make the first payment till March. March, April, May, June. Anybody do some simple math? What was my payment? $20,000 a month. Ah, I serve God with cattle on 1,000 hills. This is no problem. We crank it up. I said, there's only one way out of this, and that's to grow. So I grew. I grew and I grew, and I wrote those $20,000 checks for 4 months in a row. The last check I wrote was in June of 2015. June of 2015 was the record sales month that I'd had to that point. We did a little over $80,000 worth of business that month. That's fixing a lot of cars. It was hot, it was dirty, and it was hard work. I personally put in at least 100 hours a week that whole month. My wife went on vacation without me. All these things. And we were cheering. in the midst of that 4 months of 4 months of real tough time, I got a call from my pastor. Ed calls me up. I'm down at the park at a little kid's birthday party, and he says, "Hey, God's got you on my heart, and I've been praying for you and asking Him what it is that He's got that He wants to say to you." And he says, I believe God's telling me that you've got some important decisions that you're making in business right now." And, of course, I'm standing there at the little kid's birthday party, and I start crying. So I go hide behind a tree at the park while I'm at, make it seem like it's a really important phone call so that everybody leaves me alone, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. He says, "Well, I think I'm supposed to tell you that you're going in the right direction, that you need to just have confidence in what you're doing and keep moving." I said, "Okay." Well, at the time, I'd been thinking about signing up with a consulting company that was going to help me continue to grow, right? So I did that. $22,000 and a really bad attitude later, they had helped me self-destruct. I found out after I got there, they were all a bunch of Scientologists. It was weird. I was locked into a one-year contract, but here's the thing: July 1st, 2015, I'm coming off of the record month ever. Sales cut in half. I did everything the consultants told me to do. I destroyed the team that brought me to where I was. I fired people on their advice. Those same people that God put in my life to bail me out when I cried out for mercy, I sent them packing. The very same people that a year before that I'd explained to my wife, I said, "You know, I've got a new understanding of a lot of things that the Scripture says, because when it talks about servants, said, that's what these men are to me. They give me more than I pay them for because they believe in me. They believe in what I'm doing. They show up early and they stay late, and I don't have to ask them to do anything. If they see me moving in a direction, they run ahead and get there first." Business dropped off, and I had to get rid of people, and I did. And it kept slipping. May of that year, I fired my top producer. So it's me, one guy, and I'd replace somebody at the front counter. Anyway, long story short, kept struggling. I went to a conference like I always did, and I hear this man talking about all these things, and he's basically saying just the opposite of what I just got done spending $22,000 to get for advice, and I hated him for it. I was angry with that guy. I wrote an ugly review for him. Told him I thought he was arrogant. Told him all these things about this man. 1 year ago, tomorrow, I signed up as a member of that man's consulting company after I finally went to his conference and watched him and a group of 450 auto repair shop owners call people out and prophesy to them and speak over them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless you knew what the Holy Spirit was, he didn't say that's what was going on, but that's what he was doing. And when I was there, there was a man that he'd hired to come in there and do morning services that taught me that God does not see me as his servant, but as his son. I don't have to earn anything. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to earn anything. You just be his son. He's got good things for you by the very nature of sonship. You don't have to earn anything. And that was a breakthrough moment for me. How could I have been in church all those years and not understood that? I don't know, but I didn't. There was breakthrough there for me. I know I'm going long. If you guys have to go, you can. Don't feel bad about it. Thank you. But it was a breakthrough moment. It was a breakthrough moment. And let me tell you what, a year ago right now, I'd been pretty beat up. I'd had 4 years of declining business. I'd moved my business to another town to get to a bigger town, bigger facility. And we were clawing our way back. And I finally got to, in March of 2020, the first week of the month, I had the highest grossing week that I'd ever had up to that point. And I thought, finally, I've turned it around. You ever heard of COVID? When did that hit? When did the governor of Kansas announce that schools were going to be closed for the rest of the year? Well, I can tell you why, because the next week after she did that was the worst week I've ever had in auto repair. So I had my best week, my worst week ever in March of 2020. And by July 1st, I was down to me, one guy out in the shop, and one guy in the counter. We're back to square one, except now I got a bigger building full of more equipment, half an hour from my house. And my wife tells me, because see, I'd changed my opinion about the guy that I hated the first time I heard him and everything. And I'd been going to go to his conference that he had in April, but it got canceled and this and that. And I'm sitting here in July now. I'm basically without help and, you know, without hope. Nobody knew what was going to happen with COVID. And I'm sitting there, you know, any credit that I could get went into that new building. And here I am. And my wife says, yep, I think you need to go ahead and go. I said, really? I probably need to stay here and work. Nope, you need to go. So I listened to my wife, and I went, and I got that breakthrough. Okay, and why am I telling you this? Because breakthrough is available to all of us, and we all need it. I've learned how the formula works, so now I can go after it for myself. I got that breakthrough. I saw what God was doing in that organization, and I said, okay, God, just like I did the day he told me I didn't have to fight anymore. I said, okay, God. So up until that point, I'd never had another month as good as what I'd had in June of 2016, 5 years ago, until this March. We beat the June of 2016 record. And that's all well and good, but then we beat it again in June. And we just beat it again 2 days ago. And my whole team believes. And I believe. And it's because I accepted the breakthrough that the Lord put in front of me. So now I'm going to do something else. I'm going to turn this just a little bit here. I'm going to go share the scriptures that we talked about. And while I'm sharing these scriptures, I want you to think about where you need breakthrough. What test did you run into where life blew up on you? What pit of failure have you run into that's put you in despair, that's put you in hopelessness, that's put you in depression, that's put you feeling like you're at the mercy of the world? Like you have no power, like you have no backup. What's that thing right now in your life? What's that thing that's eating at you, that's taken away your energy, that's taken away your power to overcome through the word of your testimony? What is it? Scriptures that I'm going to read for you. First of all, we've got Deuteronomy 28:2. And this is what breakthrough looks like, guys. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. They overtake you. You don't see it coming. You're blindsided. You're overwhelmed when breakthrough comes and hits you. There's no stopping it. It just overwhelms you, transforms you, takes you to a new level. That's what breakthrough does. Now the next one, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, there's another version there that says it like this. It says, having cast all your care upon Him. It's done before the humbling. It's a prerequisite to humbling yourself. You got to cast your cares on Him. You got to give Him the fight that you're not equipped for. You got to give it to Him first. And then you've humbled yourself. Because what are you doing? What are you doing if you hold on to that fight? What are you saying? I got this. Why did my business fall apart in July of 2016? Because He delivered me from the crisis. But who'd I give the credit to? Me. I took the credit for what He did for me. When things started moving forward and started going well, I wasn't thanking Him for it. I was thinking I was pretty good. So you've got to cast your burdens on Him and humble yourself. Then the next step in the recipe for breakthrough comes. And this is where transformation happens. And in Matthew 6:33 it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The relationships you don't have right now. The peace in your home that's lacking. The job that you just never can seem to land. The fulfillment that you can't find in your walk of life. All those things that you want added to you come after you've given Him your anxieties, after you've humbled yourself before Him. Because once you've let go all those things, then you can put Him first. Because you're truly at that point looking to Him for your provision. You're looking to Him for that breakthrough. You're believing. You've got a belief that's based on Him now instead of a belief that's based on your own efforts. Okay? And then wrapping it up, help towards the breakthrough. James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, am I saying that this is sin that's keeping you from your breakthrough? Well, sort of. If you're holding on to something that God ought to be taking care of for you, that's pride. That's your ego getting in the way. That's you thinking you can do it on your own. That's you telling Him you don't need Him. There are people in this church that care about you. There are people in this church that have had breakthrough in whatever area you're struggling with. And they can help you through it. There's nobody that can pray better for healing than somebody that's been healed. There's nobody that can pray better for a family to be reunited than somebody that's been through a divorce and has seen the other side and brought it back together. There are people, you all are qualified to pray and to seek God as an intercessor for those sitting in here that need a breakthrough in an area that you've already had the breakthrough in. So who needs a breakthrough today? Alden, will you come up here and get some music? If you need a breakthrough, I want you to come forward. We're going to take the first step. We're going to take the first step, and we're going to give it to God. This takes courage. This is the first time I've told that story to anybody outside of the professionals that were there with me and my wife. I've shared something with you. If you feel the courage to share something with me, you come up here and you tell me. And then we're going to go together to the one who can bring you the breakthrough, and we're going to ask him for that breakthrough. If you need breakthrough, stay here. If you can pray for somebody for breakthrough, stay here. If you don't land in either one of those, thank you for being here today. We love you. We hope you have a great week, and keep praying for our pastors. Feel free to just come forward as you're led. We're going to worship here for a little bit, and I will be here as long as anybody has something that they need to ask for breakthrough on.